It is Motivation Monday, and we are so damn motivated around this place, we're having it on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot wait for Monday. Actually, we'll be traveling Monday, but the bottom line is we're live on Friday for Motivation on Monday, and you're going to get an amazing lesson today from our sales meeting, our behind-the-scenes sales meeting.
Yeah. So for those of you joining us for the first time, this is an inside glimpse into our live sales meeting. And Jeffrey Gittimer and I, Jennifer Gluckauer, are joined here with Brent Thomas, our Director of Client and Sales Success.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Behind the scenes, who you can't
Director
see.
Director of Client Success.
Well, that's what I said, but he wanted to add sales. So,
Client and sales.
Trying to make everyone happy
client
here.
Client sales success. I like that. That's okay.
They're okay. All right. Good. New title.
All right. We're good.
And behind the scenes, who you cannot see, is Doug Branson, our director of Sell or Die and our producer. And so he may be chiming in from time to time. Hey, Doug.
Not seen, but definitely heard.
Yep.
Always.
That is correct.
Yes. Looming is how we like to refer to it.
So if you're not subscribed yet, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for Sell or Die.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not miss an episode because they are amazing and getting better and better. Today in our sales meeting, we have an agenda. We are going to read and talk about a part of the Yes Attitude, Chapter 1. We have selected a very inspiring section.
Like, actually, who's the most important person in the world?
The whole book is inspiring. Yes. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, just go to Amazon.
And but, send it to me. We'll autograph it and send it back to you freight free.
That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk about the difference between prepared calls and cold calls and what you can be doing this week or next week. And all along the way, we'll be answering your questions. So I have my computer here, and just say hi to us if you're watching. Let us know if you're watching the replay. But ask your questions, and we're going to be sure to answer them live. Let us know where you're joining from. And then after that, we are going to get to Brent's challenge. So, Brent, we want to hear from you what you want to do differently, what you want to push yourself to do even better next week. And we will wrap with a Napoleon Hill quote.
But we have to start with the news of the day, which I think is probably the most important thing.
There's news?
Oh, yeah.
What's the news?
The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl.
No, that's old news.
No, that's new news. And I would tell you, anybody who watches this video, go to YouTube, find the Jason Kelce speech that he gave in front of a couple, 3 million people, and get the full uncensored version, which is about 5 minutes long. If there's a beep in it, don't. Listen to it. Just go to, there's a couple of uncensored ones up on YouTube. Get them. I think there's even one on Twitter. But I'm telling you, it talks about all the people that said, you're not good enough. And the Eagles went in as underdogs every single time and won as top dog every single time because of determination, of team play, and of personal excellence. And baby, that's what did it.
I am very happy that the Eagles won because I don't know if I would have heard about it more if they won or they lost. But
Jeffrey, but do you believe that the Eagles believed were going to win?
Oh, they knew they were going to win before they went on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came in with a yes attitude for sure.
And
for
they tromped them. It wasn't – and the best part is they beat the champion. So they didn't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who the hell are they? Right? One season and they're in first place. They beat Tom Brady and the other piece of crap New England Patriots. And they put them on the ground where they belong. They outdueled them. Even though Brady had a record that will never be broken, like 600 yards passing. I mean, that's totally incredible. They lost.
That's right.
No, we beat them.
We did beat him.
Yeah, we did beat him.
Good job.
Was it exciting?
It was very exciting because I love seeing you be so
And you're
happy.
Not a big football fan.
This was the first Super Bowl that I watched ever.
Wow.
Oh, there you
so
go.
So that was a big
that
day.
That only took 52 years.
First and last or?
No, if the Eagles are in it next year, I'll watch. All right, so I just want to say hi to some of our friends here. We have Jeff Brokaw. Hey. Brian Kelm, Jeff Washfish, my cousin. What's up, French cousin who's in Mexico?
Oh, my gosh.
Jeff Dervek says, hey, Brent, you're a beast.
What's up, Jeff? Chip.
Justin says, congrats, Eagles. Justin from St. Louis.
Thank
hey, Justin. Thank you for joining us. So if you have any questions about sales or selling, attitude, personal development, send them. Oh, my goodness. I can't speak. Send your questions our way, and we will be sure to answer them on our show. Jeffrey, let's get to yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the real world of yes. When I first started to study attitude, I had a lousy one and didn't recognize whose responsibility it was for attitude to occur because I thought, like most people think, that it's what happens to you and that it's an outside thing. And if you make a lot of money, you're going to have a great attitude. And if you don't, you won't. What I didn't realize is that attitude is a self-inflicted positive blessing that occurs to you. And the only way you're going to do it is to understand it. So when I began to write the little gold book of Yes Attitude, I decided to start out with introducing the most important person in the world. I asked my audiences, well, let's put it this way. Just let me read it because hint, it ain't the customer. In every one of my seminars, I select one person and ask, Bill, when you're speaking with your biggest customer, who is the most important person in the world? And 99.9% of the time, the person will say, the customer. One person in the last 10 years said, my wife. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Smart man.
Which I thought was pretty funny. Really, I said, suppose there were two people left on the planet, you and the big customer. One of you has to die. Who do you want to see drop dead? The customer, Bill would say. So we've now established that you, Bill, are the most important person in the world. But the problem is when you're speaking with a big customer, they think that they are the most important person in the world. Everyone thinks, everyone has this self-importance process. But in order to really have attitude, you have to believe in your heart that it starts with you. And if it doesn't start with you, it can never spread. What happens is you wake up in the morning and you're either happy or
pissed off.
No, or middle. You can be neutral. Yep. You can be stumbling around.
All right.
And you think you need coffee. No, you need a good thought. And the good thought is, you know, that you're going to read something or write something that's positive. And then coffee all of a sudden is that, like sometimes it'll be 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll go, yeah, maybe I'll have a cup of coffee.
So what are some of the things you do personally, Jeffrey, when you wake up to ensure that you're going to have a yes attitude all day?
Well, I hang in my library, as you know. I'll sit in my little chair, my little fan chair there, and I may pick up something that was written by Malcolm Forbes or Napoleon Hill or Orison Swett Marden. I just read a paragraph.
Mm. Maybe two. And that sets the right tone.
Maybe a page.
Yeah.
Maybe. Then, if I'm so inspired, I may grab my laptop and write something that inspired me. I may tweet something myself. I may put something into my personal text to text myself so that I can write it or post it later. But I'm reading and writing and maybe having a cup of coffee. Then I got to go wake up Gabrielle every other week, and she's watching Phineas and Ferb. So I may have a couple little Phineas and Ferb things, if you know who Phineas and Ferb are. It's one of the funniest shows ever on television.
Great salespeople, Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, they are great salespeople.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was saying
that was Doug, by the way.
Great salespeople watch them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Both.
Direct correlation between selling and
people use them for inspiration. And that's pretty much what I do. And I start my day out happy. I'm happy. I wake up happy. I'm happy all during the day. I go to sleep happy. That's my daily routine. And in the middle, I'm happy. But I'm a happy person. And whatever happens, I'm slap happy. At the end of that Super Bowl, was I happy or what? Yes, I was.
Yeah.
But I was... And I probably would have been disappointed if we didn't win, but I was counting on it. I just knew we were going to win. I had predicted the Eagles would score 42 points. They scored 41, only because they missed an extra point. I would have been dead on with because I emailed and texted like 50 people that the score was going to be 42-14 Eagles.
It was sort of crazy.
Yeah.
So before we continue, I just want to say hi to Mike Pierce and Karen Saravo. Hey.
Yeah.
You've spoken to Karen.
Yes, that's right.
Brian says, the speech is phenomenal. the speech you were talking about. I reviewed it several times. His outfit was like Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
True emotion coming from Jason. By the way, happy Snowmageddon from the burbs of Chicago.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it must be real snowy, yeah. Huh?
I like Chicago because they teach you a brand new way of snowing. It snows sideways. It sleets. People slide all over the highways and no one cares. Like, it'll be 12 inches of snow, people will drive to work.
Well, that's like Ashley, where she lives in Canada. I mean, it's like -7 degrees there today. I added, per your suggestion, I actually added Ashley's city to my weather app. Okay. So when I woke up this morning, it was still on hers. And I'm like, -7 degrees in Charlotte.
So here, when it gets cold, people panic. But when they predict snow, people will leave work early. They will go to the Harris Teeter. They will empty the shelves of milk and toilet paper and paper towels.
It's pretty
and
funny. The freak out is pretty funny, especially coming from the north.
Yeah, we don't have the infrastructure. Yeah.
It's not
the people. It's the structure.
It's maybe both.
Whatever.
So, hey, here's the challenge to you guys who are listening out there. What are you going to do differently tomorrow? What are you going to do differently today to ensure that you're going to have a yes attitude? And maybe it's picking up a copy of the Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. Maybe it's reading some of the books that Jeffrey recommended. Maybe it's waking up and working out, going for a walk, clearing your head in some way. But what are you going to do? And write it down and tell us in the comments. We want to know, what are you going to be doing to ensure you have a yes attitude today?
And it's Friday. Friday. Friday is the least profitable day of the week. And the reason is that salespeople slough off.
They do. They're working from their home office today.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. They're making prep for Saturday.
Yeah.
They're making sure they got the right kind of beer and all the other kind of crap that goes with it. Dude, this is the easiest time of the day, the easiest day of the week to make a sale. Because everybody's in relax mode. Everybody's in positive mode. Double your sales calls on Friday to do two things. Number one, get closed deals. And number two, set your week. You should be making appointments for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. And then you're going to feel great about taking off and having that craft beer like a fool.
All right. So Jeff Dervick says, I do commercial real estate. So this quote I heard from NFL player J.J. Watt resonated with me. Success is not owned. It's leased and rent is due every day.
Whoa.
Jeff, what does this quote mean to you?
I think that is an amazing quote. First of all, you have to love J.J. Watt. I mean, he's a great ball player and a great human being. He won the Walter Payton Award this year. For coolest human being on the planet, for raising, I think, $20 million for people of Houston. But more important than that, what he's saying is that this is a daily thing. And you wake up in the morning and you can't have a bad day. I mean, can you imagine him saying, yeah, I had a bad day? They're paying him $20 million a year. he's only playing in 16 games. He's making like more than $1 million a game. Don't have a bad game, dude. Like, be up for the game. Or be ready for the game, and readiness is something we're going to talk about in the next part of our talk.
Yeah, I think the other thing he's saying, though, is that you have to put in the work every single day. So success is not just going to come to you and you're lucky. Like, you and I and Brent, we all work our butts off every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
You want a pat on the head for that?
No, I just think that a lot of people are slacking off on Fridays.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And so that's one-fifth of the week. Come on. One-fifth of the work week.
If you love what you do, you don't even know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 days ago, someone asked me what day it is. I had no idea what day it was.
That's true story.
That's how you know you're doing the great thing. Not hump day or any of that kind of crap.
Yeah, but Jeff brought that. Jeff Brokaw brought that. I forget his friend's name who he brought over yesterday. He does the podcast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, do you work on Saturday? And he's like, yeah, I work every day. Right. I love what I do.
Right.
And it's like, I get it.
I don't have a time where I think, well, what are you going to do on vacation? I don't know. I don't think about vacation. We're going to go on a cruise. I don't think about that.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
I think about it for you, so don't worry.
Thanks. but the challenge for me is getting there and getting a job done. And if I'm in a cool place, spending an extra day. That's vacation
to me. Exactly. Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about our prepared calls versus cold calls.
Yeah. You want to start?
Well, no. I think Brent should start and set us up. Like, what, Brent, how are they going for you? What's going on?
Well, in short, my prepared calls are going better than my unprepared calls.
Okay, cool.
Shocker.
Yes right. And a quick story. So, and actually Jeffrey was there, and I love making calls when Jeffrey's there because I get instant feedback. So for this particular case, I had called this business, and this guy out in California, I called him 4 or 5 times, call me back, or I'd never gotten through. Finally, I got through. It was early in the morning, his time. It was like 7 a.m., which I highly recommend anyone call a business owner early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, having a good conversation with me, and I'm trying to, all I'm trying to do is just set an appointment with him, set a demo so I can show him mm-hmm. what the Gittimer Learning Academy is all about. He goes, do you even know what we do?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, radio talk silence
about,
on that
talk
one.
Talk about city shutdown. I've seen your website. Like, I was done. Yeah, I should have just hung up the phone and just like act like we got disconnected. Instead, I've made myself look like a fool. However, learned a very important lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that again.
That was the lesson. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, so let's talk about what you can do as a sales call. We're calling them no calls. K-N-O-W.
Ooh.
And you can either make no calls or no calls.
Right.
Those are your two options.
Right.
Because if you make an unprepared call, you're going to get hung up on. So why would you, you know, you're going to be rejected 99 out of 100 times or more if you make just a plain old, I'm looking for the person in charge of advertising. Boom, click. I'm looking for the person in charge of copy machine maintenance. Click. I'm looking for the person in charge of computer purchasing. Click. Want me to go on?
No.
Okay,
click.
Sales training. Click.
So let's talk about what you're doing now to prepare for your calls.
Sure. First and foremost, just check in my prior conversations with them, who I spoke to. Anytime I'm calling somebody, if I have spoke to anybody in that company, I always say, hey, I spoke with Jen, and, you know, just to kind of put a name to it, kind of personalize it. Also looking on LinkedIn, checking on Google. And then if I see something about their business and I know something about their business, doing further research on not just their company, but perhaps their competitors
mm-hmm.
or, if I'm doing research on a company and I've heard something previously, I'll give them advice. Like, hey, look, this is what somebody else who's in your exact same industry is
Let me
doing.
Throw something out. Cool. Let me interrupt you for just one second. If you're a sales manager out there, you're probably thinking to yourself, yeah, well, my guy's going to spend too much time getting ready for the call and they'll make less calls. Right. They'll make less calls. But the calls that they make will be quality calls, not repetitive calls.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an auto dialer, now would be the time to turn that off. Unless you're
that
trying
thing's
to,
horrible.
I know they're terrible things, but listen, they exist.
But do you hang up on them when they call you?
All the time.
Exactly. Me too. Yeah. Who talks to them?
No.
So they're not worth it.
Right. So, but Brent has the right concept. He's looking all over the internet for information that he can turn into conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So turn information into conversation or meaningful dialogue when you're on the phone with that prospective person.
And it doesn't take that long to do. Now with LinkedIn and Google, you can search for someone's name in their company or their city, especially if it's like a common name. I was looking for someone named Morgan Lee this morning, and there's like a million of them.
Yeah.
But you can find, you know, you can find who you're looking for very easily.
I think that the time frame should be 3 minutes to prep for a call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find something really interesting, you might push it out to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Should you time yourself? Keep track of it?
Is that the voice of God?
By the way, did we miss anything in the intro? I forgot to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't introed anything.
Well, we can remind people to subscribe to the Sell or Die podcast, and they can get this episode of Motivation Monday. If they've missed any portion of it, you can listen to it on the podcast feed, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, whatever you use to get podcasts. Just search Sell or Die.
I love that. And if you guys could like heart this and share it out to your network.
Could you send us
that,
some love?
Yeah, please. That would be amazing if you could share it out. What we're going to do, is there a way to figure out who shares it out the most or something like that? Or
no.
Who?
We could track that. Yeah, we could track that.
All right. So if we're going to give away something. I think we should
Yes Attitude book away.
All right, so you will get a signed copy of the Yes Attitude book. We're going to give it to the next person who shares this out and types share in the comments, or I shared it in the comments.
Like I voted early or something?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. You don't get a sticker from us, but you will get a Yes Attitude book.
Well, listen, I mean, sharing it is basically you saying, we want more of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we can do this every week. We need people to get the word out and say, hey, we want more of this.
Oh my God,
motivation.
Look at all the hearts flowing through. I love that.
Tell both your friends.
Sharing is caring.
That's freaking awesome. Okay, so Matt still says, hey guys, how do you feel about script selling? I like to prep for calls, but even then, sometimes you aren't able to get to the person you did the prepping for. Thoughts? And by the way, Matt Still, you are the first person to share it out after that comment. So you have won a little gold
book. Way to go, Matt.
Of Yes Attitude.
Okay, now Matt.
Just direct message us your address where you want it sent, please.
The key words in selling are be yourself, not be your scripted self. And I recommend that you take the script and learn it, not memorize it, learn it so that it's comfortable for you. And you can make sure that you explain the parts that are important to the customer to engage them, but basically ditch it.
So the way I have always used scripts in the past is writing it out for me as a script, or looking at the script that someone has given me, mm-hmm. has helped me prepare and learn the information.
Yeah.
But then I do not even keep it in front of me when I'm demoing, because then it will sound like I'm reading from something that will be really boring. So you did that, Brent, when you came here. You wrote out like a 10-page script of like all, it was impressive, all the information that you learned just by using and watching videos on the Learning Academy. And how did it help you?
It's helped me get a guideline.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you, I don't have the script in front of me.
Yeah.
I do have a few questions in front of me and then a few bullet points that I like to hit.
So guiding notes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an outline.
Yeah.
But the 10-page script is, I'm not just flipping through.
Yeah.
They'd be really bored. And we do our sales pitches on Zoom, so you could see us. So if I'm like reading from a script, it's like, not good.
And by the way, I know Matt Still, and he's one of the most creative people I know. So Matt, certainly use your creativity as your advantage.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah. I think creativity is as big as humor.
Mm-hmm.
As big as preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's four or five things that absolutely drive it. But preparation is something that can create some kind of conversation with that person to where you can find that one link, that one thing in common that will help you get into a real deep dialogue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And real quick on that, when we were talking about preparation and getting into a deep dialogue,
mm-hmm.
so we mentioned LinkedIn earlier, it's not just to know about the business. It's to know about where they grew up.
Yeah.
What school they went to.
100%. Their interests.
Their interests, yep. Exactly.
There's so much you can find out on LinkedIn. There's so much you can find out on LinkedIn. Because people want to brag about all the stuff they did.
Yep.
And I will guarantee you that if they have a LinkedIn account, they've got a Facebook account.
Jeffrey,
yes, sir.
What did you do before LinkedIn? Like, what was the old school way of prepping for a call?
The old school way was using the Thomas Register to find people. They had like a 15-volume set of stuff, and it gave you every corporate listing in America. And so you could see who their competitors were. You could do a little bit of research about them. But really, if you didn't have, you know, before a computer.
Oh, wow. Look at these books. I just Googled them, the Thomas Register.
You were not able to look up anything, Doug.
You were screwed.
You're totally screwed.
Well, couldn't you ask someone?
But if you had a specialty niche, then you would have subscribed to the magazine of that trade association or the magazine of the, you know, you might want the Tractor News or the, you know, the Life Insurance Times or whatever. And that would allow you to have dialogue about an article or something like that. And literally, I used to rip out articles from magazines and mail them to people. How archaic
is that? I actually bet that would still work today.
Oh, sure.
But couldn't you have called someone who is also in the industry to find out if they knew that person and get information?
You call your circle, but
it was, now it's at your fingertips. Yeah. Literally at your fingertips.
Literally, you can like put five email addresses in a blind copy and send it out to people and say, hey, do you know this guy? Wow. And you'll get responses in like a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Doug, I'm going to explain it in two words. No, let's make it three. It was hard. And sometimes it was impossible. And sometimes you just called a guy and just tried to start whatever conversation you possibly could based on nothing. But no one had it. So the playing field was level. It wasn't like one guy had a computer and one guy doesn't. But now your level of sophistication can actually be a differentiator.
So I just got a text from our very important VIP guest who's coming in today, our New York City-based insurance agent,
Michael Silverman, yeah.
Mr. Mayor. And the mayor has landed. So we are going to wrap up our show because we want to be standing at the airport today with little signs to greet him. But Brent, before we go, what's your challenge for everyone for next week and for yourself? Your personal challenge.
And I'm going to steal this from Jeffrey.
Please do.
The challenge for myself and for all of you is to intensify your actions, intensify your research, your preparation, and just make better calls. Intensify your attitude as well.
I love it.
H in preparation.
You mean hustle?
Hey, Doug, what is our Napoleon Hill quote to inspire everyone this week?
Please. All right,
our Napoleon Hill quote of the week is, big pay and little responsibility are circumstances seldom found together.
I love that. Whoa, I love that. And that was written 100 years ago.
That's insane.
Totally insane. If you're not reading Napoleon Hill on an everyday basis, you're a fool. Mm-hmm. You're leaving information waste by the wasteland. You're just not taking advantage of your own life.
Yeah. Get Think and Grow Rich and get those action guides that I posted on my Instagram this past week. Those are great.
Okay. So my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I want to thank everybody for being here, but I definitely want to thank you, the listening audience.
And I'm Jen Gluckow. Thank you.
And I'm Brent Thomas.
And Doug, who the hell are you?
I'm Doug Branson, and I'm telling you to subscribe to the podcast, buy the Yes Book, visit salesinanewyorkminute.com to check out Jen's material, and of course, Gittimer Learning Academy. Get it.
I'm telling you to get out there and sell something even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.